The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome to Play Action, the Buffalo News' Bills podcast. I'm Lance Lysowski, joined, of course, by Catherine Fitzgerald. Catherine, still in the dorm room. We're still in Pittsburgh. Week two of Bills training camp. And the sadly for them and the fans at this point, the theme of this camp up to now has been injuries. So let's start with the first one, Catherine. Maxwell Harrison, the first round pick, avoided the worst case scenario with his non-contact knee injury. Sources say LCL sprain in his right knee. Now, too early to determine a clear timeline. Somebody threw 3 weeks out there, but that's we won't go with that based on what I had heard. So, Catherine, you know, what's your immediate reaction based on, obviously, we saw Harrison go down, the reaction to it from everybody involved, and, you know, what this is going to mean for the Bills as they prepare for the season?
Yeah, I think it's a positive that it wasn't worse. You know, you never want to see anyone get injured, but I think based off kind of the reaction we were seeing during that practice, you know, players talking about having a prayer for him afterwards, and, you know, they're always looking to uplift their team. But I think kind of the somber tone of it, people were worried that it was going to be an ACL or something like that. And so I think it's fortunate that it's not going to sideline him for the year, obviously. And I think now, you know, the question becomes, how do you keep him up to speed when he can't participate in things? And also, you know, who's getting more reps because of it? We talked to Bobby Babich this morning, and he was saying how, you know, like for a rookie who's going to miss time, there are ways that you try to, you know, put more in their playbook, get them through walkthroughs and stuff like that. So there are things you can do, but it is still unfortunate he's going to miss some time. And like we said, the timeline's still a little TBD.
It's tough. He was going to play probably every quite a few snaps in all three preseason games, you would think. He needs all the reps he can get. They want to see how knowledgeable he is in terms of the defense, whether, you know, where he's at in terms of tackling at the NFL level, covering these bigger, more physical receivers. So it's a setback. You could just tell, though, they're going to be very cautious when it comes to him. He's very important. They like their depth at that position. This creates opportunities for others. Of course, Tre'Davious White is, I would be shocked at this point, Catherine, if he doesn't enter the season as their second corner behind Christian Benford. And then there's going to be some other guys competing to be that next man up. Dane Jackson, who they brought back this offseason. Dorian Strong, the rookie sixth-round pick. And Jamarcus Ingram, you spoke to two of those three guys after practice on Thursday. I don't think we'll see much of Tre'Davious White, if any, during those preseason games. He doesn't need them. He knows the defense already. You could say the same thing for Dane Jackson at this point, but for Dorian Strong and Jamarcus Ingram, this is a big opportunity for them to get more snaps against the first-team offense and show what they can do.
Yeah, Bobby Babich even said that about Dorian in particular. I talked to him for a bit after practice, just kind of about what his mindset is, and, you know, he was saying he's just trying to do everything he can to learn this defense right now. He's in his playbook. He's doing extra stuff after practice with other defensive backs. So he's trying to get up to speed as quickly as possible. Was talking to Jamarcus Ingram about Dorian, and Jamarcus was saying, you know, Dorian is just so competitive. Like, that's what really stands out about him as he's acclimating to the NFL level.
Dorian Strong was one of the draft picks I wrote about. One of the ones you wrote about, I'll probably mention him in our last segment, Jackson Hawes, a standout. Dorian Strong, though, he started, I believe it was 26 consecutive games at Virginia Tech. It's right around there. And he was always trusted to take on that number one receiver, and he loved the challenge of it. He always, you know, one of the assistant coaches I spoke to at Virginia Tech said that he would get upset when they would put the second or third string receivers against him because he just wanted to face the best that he could. And big guy, he looks like if you were to draw up what a corner could look like, he would be pretty close to it in terms of just the length and some of the skills that he has. I thought it was really interesting, Catherine, you mentioned him doing extra work after practice. Christian Benford was working very closely with Dorian Strong. I know they're familiar with each other because they're both from Maryland. That connection is there. But with Christian Benford at this stage of his career, clearly has taken on a leadership role that this started before this season, of course, but it's still notable that somebody in his position, he didn't just go straight to the locker room. He stayed out there as long as Dorian Strong and Dane Jackson needed him to go through some of the technical aspects of that position.
Yeah, he's been out late after practice, I think every single day we've been here. So it's such a close-knit group, the cornerbacks here. And so I think it's cool to see how, you know, they are competing for these reps, but they're still really trying to help each other at the same time. Maxwell Harrison obviously had one of the more notable injury scares of camp and, you know, lasting injury as well. But I think just like you said, Lance, the theme of this camp has been injuries. They've been piling up. Some guys are starting to get worked back into the lineup, but I think just kind of looking around the team, they're really banged up at some positions, wide receiver in particular. So guys are, you know, getting reps that they wouldn't necessarily get if it weren't for how the depth chart is shaking out. But it's, I don't know, it's a lot of injuries.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear when Sean McDermott is actually begins to grow concerned about some of the players that they're missing. It's still early, so for him as a coach, you're expecting, I'm sure he's expecting some guys to come back. But Catherine, while I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this extremely long list at this point, Spencer Brown with the back, that one, he's somebody they can't afford to not have. Of course, they like their depth at tackle. They've got other options there, of course, but he was one of the best tackles in the league last year. And for that offense to really function the way they want it to, their best options are Deion Dawkins at left tackle and Spencer Brown on the right side. So that's one I think that'll be important to watch. And Alec Anderson, we got the update following practice on Thursday that his knee's going to get scoped, and he's week to week at this point. We saw him leave practice the other day. And as much that offensive line was such a topic of discussion going into this camp because they had all five starters back, they had a lot of depth. And Cedric Van Pran Granger, their backup center, is also down. So that's an area where they're going to want to get healthy in a hurry to make sure those guys are all on the same page and able to participate in at least, a good stretch of this training camp.
Yeah, the Alec Anderson injury to me, I think, is a big concern just based off how much they like to run those jumbo packages. They're using it so frequently compared to other NFL teams, especially that his role really is significant. You talk about the depth there, but then just also getting him in to games and stuff like that. So I think that's one, you know, hopefully nothing too major week to week right now, obviously, but something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, and at receiver, Elijah Moore returned, but they're still down. Curtis Samuel, Caden Prather, and Joshua Palmer didn't finish practice on Thursday, so that's another one to watch. And Cole Bishop, an addition to the injury report with a quad injury. So Terrell Bernard and Dorian Williams, the linebackers, they've been doing a lot off to the side, so that's usually a good indicator that they're closer to returning than they aren't. It's roster gymnastics at this point, and it impacts your ability to run a practice. When they were really hurt, limited at receiver early in the week, you have to cut some period short. Tyler Bass hasn't kicked the last couple of days, Catherine. That's another one that we can mention, because if Tyler Bass can't kick early next week, they're going to have to add a kicker to this roster for at least the first preseason game against the New York Giants.
Right. I think one silver lining maybe is they're getting healthier at tight end. Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid both missed some time, more significant for Dawson Knox, who was on, you know, not able to practice from the start of training camp, but he came back Thursday, had his first practice since training camp started. Dalton Kincaid just missed a day. I talked to him after he came back to practice Tuesday, and he was saying it's more just being very cautious with his knee, same knee he injured last season. So, you know, some of it is being cautious and whatnot, but I think still just like you said, it impacts practice. Brad Robbins, their punter, was lining up at wide receiver just because they needed bodies one day. And talked to him after practice. He said it went great. He was open every play. But those aren't exactly the looks you want to be getting during this portion of camp.
Yeah, valuable reps for other guys. The offensive line in particular, like a lot of those, whether it be Grable or Vandermark, you're going to need them at some point in the season. So the more that they can get at this point, and for them to be cautious with the starters, that, there's a trade-off there. At linebacker, Bailon Spector, Joe Andreessen, Shaq Thompson, who you wrote about the other day, are going to get more with Bernard and Williams out. It's just, that's something that we're going to be watching going into the third week of camp is, okay, who's healthy, who's still out, and how's that really impact what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott want to do with the roster. Because at this point, you know, going back to the Harrison discussion, they haven't added a corner because they like their numbers there, and we'll see how they feel about everything else across the depth chart as we get closer to at least that first preseason game. Catherine, the Bills stadium practices Friday night. That's always a fun event. It's more so for the fans, though. We're not going to glean much from it in terms of where this team is at, the depth chart, all that stuff. That real first test for this team comes Saturday, August 9th, when they host the Giants in the first preseason game. That's still, you know, a week or so away. What are you looking for? What are some of the storylines that you're interested in seeing develop as we inch closer to them breaking camp in Rochester and heading back to Orchard Park?
Yeah, it's a fun question this time of year of just starting to see how is the team actually going to shake out. I'm interested to see what's going on at wide receiver. It's so hard to evaluate right now with all those injuries, but, you know, I'm curious, like, what are these guys going to look like when they get more reps with Josh Allen? What is it going to look like when they start to build that chemistry a little more? And I think that's such an interesting group in the way, you know, there's been some turnover there this offseason. There's still Joe Brady's mantra of everybody eats. So it's kind of like, all right, who's going to be stepping up from game to game here? So I think that's a group that I'm pretty interested as we start to see a little more realistic football as we get to it.
Yeah, the backup quarterback job isn't one that's going to make headlines. It's still fascinating because Mike White's done very well. He's represented himself and challenged Mitch Trubisky for this job throughout mandatory minicamp, training camp, and they're going to get... We're not going to see much of Josh Allen in the preseason, let's face it. So it is going to be the Mike White versus Mitch Trubisky battle for who's going to be backing up Josh Allen this season. And at tight end, with some of the injuries to Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, that created a big opportunity for Jackson Haas, Catherine. And the rookie has really stood out, not only as a blocker, but as a receiver. And that's an area of his game. If you look at the college stats, it's not like Haas was, you know, this dynamic threat in the passing game, but he's shown that he can be a reliable target for Josh Allen, which is going to increase his odds of, you know, making this roster, especially with, you know, Zach Davidson's had a good camp, but just with Davidson, he's more of that receiving threat, and he's not as refined as a blocker as Haas is.
No, with Haas, the more and more people I talk to about him, he's just like chaos, you know, yeah, in a positive way, where he's a monster on the field, but he has that dualness to his game, that duality of he can block and he can be used in the passing game. And I think it's fun to see, you know, kind of the light coming on for him of this is how it's going to be at the NFL level. You know, he made the jump from Ivy League to ACC, and that competition didn't scare him off. And now you see what he's starting to do against NFL players. And I think he's going to be really fun to watch.
The defensive line too, especially in these preseason games. How's Deion Walker going to look with the pads on against live competition? TJ Sanders, they envision him as being that one technique right next to Ed Oliver. And if TJ Sanders can provide a pass rush from the inside, not only is he going to be included in a rotation, he'll challenge Daquan Jones for snaps. So that's a really interesting one. Landon Jackson, how does he look in these games? Javon Solomon's in his second year. The coaching staff is really excited about his development. You know, because they have Joey Bosa, they've got Greg Rousseau, they've got AJ Epenesa, but those guys, we're not going to see much of them in preseason games. And Michael Hoyt, he's suspended 6 games to start the year. So this coaching staff is really keeping an eye on that area of the depth chart and how that group can help them, especially while Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi are suspended.
Yeah, I think that's a fascinating thing to be watching from a coaching standpoint of how do you work these guys, Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi, into a new defense while still understanding I'm not going to have them for the first 6 games. And I think that balance is something, I don't know, I think it's just interesting to learn about of how is this coaching staff going to do this? You know, they have a plan, they're trying to balance it, but seeing it in real time, seeing it unfold, I think is really intriguing.
Yeah, for sure. And another player to watch, that Jordan Hancock, the rookie safety, he's played safety. They've used him at nickel corner. Where does he end up at? Because they've got a plan on how they're really onboarding him into the defense, seeing how he handles that versatility, and Bobby Babich, their defense coordinator, even said it's, we've given a lot. It's a lot for a rookie to handle, but that they want him to do it and see how he handles it. Because if Hancock can play both positions, Catherine, that is very interesting in terms of who makes the 53-man roster.
We'll have so many updates for y'all leading up to that 53-man roster. Make sure you're reading everything on BuffaloNews.com and looking for your podcast there and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Lance and I will be keeping y'all updated all throughout camp and into the preseason.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.